ever-increasing Word Training Center. I'm so thankful for Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., who is the founder of this school, and I thank you for the apostolic grace that's upon his life. Now, students, we're going to skip, and we're going to move to chapter number 11 because we want to deal with the seven revivals, end-time revivals. And I want you to keep in mind that a revival is based upon the principle of continuance. So as we go through these seven stages of revival, I don't want you to think one came to an end and we go to another one. No, all seven of these stages will culminate in the final one, which is the times of the revivalists. So let us begin tonight's session. Introduction to the seven major stages of revival. The last day revival is going to be established in seven progressive stages. These stages will lay a lasting foundation for an ongoing revival that will climax with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to realize that this last day revival is launched from the church, which has become strong and empowered for a divine attack to change and reform society. So notice that it is the responsibility of the church to change and to reform society. We're not to be concerned about what's going on in the world. What we ought to be focused on is the power that we have in the church to change and reform this society. Understanding these seven major stages of the last day revival will help us to establish the next move of God and gain a strong momentum for the Holy Spirit to sweep across the nation. The last day revival is unique because these seven major stages are going to be simultaneously added to the lives of those who are currently moving in the present truths of what God is revealing and restoring. One of the most essential things that becomes a prerequisite for this next move is the ability to hear prophetically what God is saying and doing today and to align ourselves in accordance to his ways. Now, I want to add a word to that prophetically because we must also recognize that it must be done apostolically and prophetically. Why is that important? Because the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's Ephesians 2:20. In Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says that, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. This is the fivefold ministry gift. And the first one that Jesus gave to the church was the apostle. 1 Corinthians 12:27 and 28 says that now you are the body of Christ and you are members in particular. And God had set the members in the body as it pleased him. He set in the body first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, gifts of healing, working of miracles. That's the ministry of the evangelist, and helps and governments are in the pastoral capacity. We must pull all of these things together. We must have the apostolic working with the prophetic so that we're launching off from a strong and a sure foundation. If we do not position ourselves in what God is doing today, we cannot expect God to take us into the next move. Now, there are seven major stages of revival, and they are as follows. Number one is times of revelation. Number two is times of repentance. Number three is times of times of refreshing. Number four is times of revealing. Number five is times of restoration. Then we have times of reformation and times of the revivalists. That is the seven stages of the end time revival. And remember that because they are based upon the principle of continuance, they will all culminate in the revivalists manifesting. In other words, God is literally building the deliverer through these stages of revival. Because without a consecrated, set apart sanctification and dedicated servant of God, revival cannot take place. Today we will discuss chapter 11, stage one, times of revelation. The first stage of the end time revival is the times of revelation that the church is not only presently ushered into, is constantly being ushered into. Go ahead. A lack of revelation knowledge can have a disastrous end for the church. The church can be destroyed. The gifts can be abused. Now we're talking about ministry gifts and also the gifts of the Spirit without revelation. Because you have to understand the purpose that the ministry gifts were given. And we also must understand what the nine manifestations of the Spirit are, because you can get out of line with moving in those nine manifestations, thinking it's you versus the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. And the people can be rejected from receiving their inheritance. Now, I want you all to look at Hosea 4 and 6. Now watch what it says, Hosea 4 and 6. My people, this is God addressing his people. My people, God said, are destroyed. For what? For a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Now when you study that passage of scripture out, you will find out that it was the priest of God who rejected his knowledge, his leadership. If the priests reject God's knowledge and leadership, the people will follow suit. Now, here's the thing. It's not just the lack of knowledge. It's because we reject the knowledge. God always raises up a vessel in every generation so that his uncompromising word could be heard, so that faith can be activated, so that God's agenda can be accomplished in the earth realm. So remember, in the church, we always say it's a lack of knowledge. It's just not a lack of knowledge. It's because the priest and the people reject the knowledge of God. Go ahead. As the Holy Spirit is moving the church into revival times, the church is experiencing a breakthrough in revelation flow. The Holy Spirit is taking us out of our ignorance and teaching us what we ought to know and what we ought to do and what we ought to say in these days. Spirit education has come to the church, and the church is learning the ways and the workings of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are benefits of walking in revelation. Now, we're talking about revelation knowledge, knowledge that can only be revealed to the church from God the Father and God the Son by the person of God the Holy Spirit. You see, the whole Godhead is active in the church. You know, right now we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the church. Oh my goodness. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in the church. Who is the church? It's not a building. It's the ecclesia. It's God called out ones. God said, I will not dwell, or I will no longer dwell in temples made with hands. I want my presence inside of my people. The Holy Spirit up on us being born again, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within our spirits, within our born again, recreated human spirits. Now we're talking about functioning from what? Revelation knowledge. Times of what? Revelation. So now I want you to take a look, and I want all of you as students, if you're going to be a student, you can't just be a student attending the training center. I'm going to encourage you to listen to Apostle Thompson's Sunday and Tuesday services. You know, he recently finished a series on how the church is being shifted from the pastoral to the apostolic. See, in the pastoral, now this is, see, I believe that Apostle Thompson is one of those end time revivalists, that the message that God gave to him, money cometh to the body of Christ, that God spoke to him and told him that this message will be here until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So money cometh, when God gave it to him, was indeed a end time prophetic word to the church delivered through his prophet, so that the church would be in financial position to accomplish God's agenda. So in shifting from the pastoral to the apostolic, we no longer are self-willed and self-centered. We're shifting to pursuing God's plans, God's purposes, and God's pursuit. We cannot do that without revelation knowledge. Benefits of walking in revelation knowledge. Number one, higher spiritual perception and wisdom. The perception that comes through revelation knowledge is higher than that of human wisdom and mind education, especially secular mind education. A lot of the secular have creeped into the church. I want us to look at two passages of scripture real quick. Matthew 11, 25 through 30, and 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. I want you to see these passages of scripture so you can see how important revelation knowledge is to the church. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou have hid these things from the wise of the world and the prudent of the world, and you have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Notice what Jesus said. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son,
and he to whomsoever
and to he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in order for us to walk in proper sonship, the Father must be revealed to us through the Son by God the Holy Spirit. There's no revelation knowledge apart from the Spirit, because he's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. You have to go through Ephesians 1, 16 through 23. You read that in your time. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 9 and 10 say, But as it is written, I had not seen, nor have ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, there it is, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit searching the deep things of God? To make it known to the sons and the daughters of God. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Now you take for further revelation, you go ahead on and read in your time Romans 8, 26 through 28. Because see, the Spirit not only searched the deep things of God, he search us. He search us. And because he search us, then God can reveal to us the adjustments and the changes that we need to make in our personal lives to line up with God's agenda. Go ahead, child. Man in his limited understanding and perception can only seek Jesus as can only see Jesus as one of the prophets. Spiritual revelation lifts us to see who Jesus really is. Well, y'all know who he really is. He was declared to be the Son of God. Jesus is the incarnate Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus, in Romans 1, you read it when you have time, he was declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There's so much more I can go into about who Jesus, you know, and Isaiah 7, 14, it talks about, behold, a virgin shall be with a child. Well, we know that was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was conceived by the Virgin Mary. You read Luke 1, 26 through verse 45, and we have to keep moving for class purposes. Number two. Inheritance sonship. There are higher blessings of sonship called inheritance that can only be released to us through revelation knowledge. Matthew 16, now you have to read verses 13 through 18, but you know what verse 13 say. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, Jesus. Some say you are Elijah, Jesus. And others say you are Jeremiah, Jesus. Are you one of the prophets? But Jesus said unto the 12 men that he was leading, But whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto us, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When you read that passage of scripture, you must understand that God revealed to the Apostle Peter that Jesus was in fact the Christ, the Son of the living God. And based upon that rock of revelation, what is the rock? The revelation of Christ's kingdom. That's the rock. That Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. And it is the church who carries out the mission of the kingdom of God. And Satan has prevailed against the church. Why? Because of a lack of revelation knowledge. The church is strong in tradition. The church is strong in religion. The church is strong in denominationalism. But I want you to know, we're not training you in this school, this apostolic school of ministry, to go to heaven. We're training you to be sons and daughters to carry out the mission of the Father in this earth realm. Put it another way, Dr. Walker, we must occupy until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. You cannot occupy with a mindset on, I got to go to heaven. No. We must bring heaven to earth. The purpose of the apostolic in these revivals is to bring heaven to earth. Go ahead.
Revelation
always preceded possession. Number three, power over flesh. The life that moves in revelation flow is free from the power of the flesh. Any believer walking in the flow of revelation knowledge is walking in victory over the flesh. Walking in revelation is walking in total obedience to the Holy Spirit and his words. When we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify or fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's Galatians chapter number 5, verses 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, Romans 8:14 say, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it's not just about being born again. It's about becoming sons and daughters. And we cannot become sons and daughters except we are led by the Spirit. If we are led by the Spirit of God, then we will walk in the Spirit and we will find ourselves not living in the flesh realm. Go ahead. Those who walk in the flesh and human wisdom do not have the ability to please God. Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Number four, the grace of sonship, the place of intimacy and love and relationship with God the Father is only accorded to sons. Revelation knowledge places us into the position of sonship that opens up the door to intimacy. The Father opens this door to his sons. Matthew 16 and 17. We read that already. We can keep moving. The Son does nothing on his own. The Son does nothing on his own initiative or speaks on his own accord. John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, I love it, can do nothing of himself. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son. Likewise, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now, I know you sitting up here and your mind is focused on Jesus, but I was talking to you. We got to quit separating ourselves. We are the sons and the daughters of a living God. When we read that Bible, we got to allow the words to jump off the page and reveal to us who we are. St. John 5:39 and 40 say, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me, and you won't come to me that you might have life. You see, life is experienced in the Son. You and I are life bearers. That's a good one, huh? We carry Zoe, the life of God, and that's what we are to be imparting to the world. Go ahead. St. John 5:30. Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which had sent me. When we choose to capitalize on this privilege and walk to honor our relationship with the Father, then we will know the grace of intimacy with God. Number five, wholesome. We develop a wholesome self-image through revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge unfolds to us how God sees us. We can then see ourselves as God sees us. God is a God of progressive revelation who reveals his name and his nature to us at appropriate times in our journey of life. The Holy Spirit, who reveals God as the Father to us, will also reveal the revelation of sonship to us. Number six, a new strength of character. Peter was changed from a bruised reed to a stone. His true spiritual nature came forth to its full potential. Jacob was transformed into a new man after he had wrestled with the angel of the Lord, who gave him a new name. His name changed from a trickster to Israel, being a prince with God, one who have power with God. As sons and daughters, we have power with God because we are indeed the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love, 1 John 3:1, the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Then you go back to Romans 8:14-17, you read it. It talks about, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with the Christ. Go ahead. Those who are changed by the flow of revelation became stable foundations for God to move in their generations. Number seven, the church is built on revelation flow. There is absolutely no true church without revelation flow. Human traditions and man-made religion does not or do not make church. In order to build effectively, now watch what I'm about to say, in the spirit, the end time church, we need to build it according to God's heavenly plan. Number eight. God wants to raise up a prevailing church on the earth, not a church that's afraid of the devil, not a church that's trying to escape through the rapture and get to heaven. God is not going to use the rapture as an escape hatch out of this earth realm. The purpose of the rapture will be after we have conquered all of our enemies. Remember what the scriptures say, that Jesus must reign until every enemy is made his footstool. The Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. The last I checked, my feet are down on the ground. My head is up here. So we flow into the head of the church. We are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. The feet is on the body, and we must put our foot on the neck of Satan. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death itself. Death cannot be destroyed until the church comes into the full manifestation of who they are. Go ahead. The church is founded upon the revelation of God, and the redemption of man is going to rise to become an overcoming church. The church that is properly connected to the Father in revelation flow has the keys of the kingdom of God to destroy the satanic kingdom. The church does the spiritual policing of the heavens, keeping the spiritual climate conducive for spiritual breakthroughs. The church ensures that the heavens are continuously open for the church to move in the supernatural purposes and plans of God. And the church is given the position to rule and reign both in the heavens and on the earth. In the days of the Acts, the apostles moved in revelation knowledge, and what they taught was called the apostles' doctrine. Well, I look forward to seeing you again on our next session. Meditate these things, that you are the body of Christ. You are members in particular, and God wants to reveal himself to you and through you, and you want to enter into position of relationship, not religion. Enjoy your evening.